Impeachment is a divisive issue in our country. And let us see what the facts are, what the law is.
Has Donald Trump dodged an impeachment bullet? It's Friday, March 22nd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Also ahead, World Water Day remembers those without. A heated election approaches in Thailand. And making music the international language in Europe. It's all on today's VOA Asia. In southern Thailand, a high voter turnout is expected for Sunday's election, where anti-military sentiment prevails in the region. But voters and opposition politicians are concerned that a government curb on voices of dissent will result in another term of military rule. Reporter Steve Sanford has more in this report for VOA.
In southern Thailand, political opposition to military control has risen in recent years, since the 2014 coup. But that hasn't stopped former coup general and current Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha from hitting the campaign trail using a softer approach. Despite attempts to win over the crowd, the locals seem more intent on sticking to the political parties that are familiar with regional issues.
The Prime Minister knows where he came from. He didn't come from the people's vote. I don't think that he will be chosen again, because during the campaign, he mentioned a lot of good policies. But after he got elected, he did not keep his promises.
The number of candidates is more than triple the 2011 election, including returning crabby Democrat MP Sakorn Keelkong, who is optimistic about another win. But Keelkong isn't so sure of the overall results, fearing that the rewritten constitution is stacked in favor of the military-backed party taking power.
I don't think this election will be fair. They've already designed the constitution in their favor. They want to have many small parties to split the votes. Then they will have more power in the parliament.
Military rule is increasingly prevalent further south in Thailand, as a long-running conflict between Malay Muslim separatists and Thai forces has flared up in recent weeks. Observers say a peaceful resolution will remain distant if the military maintains its hardline approach in the area.
We have constitution that is not quite open for the general public, and also the special laws still in place, like we have martial laws in forces, we have emergency decree in forces already.
As Thailand's historical election draws closer, observers in the south of the country are hoping that real democracy will come with the results. Steve Sanford for VOA News in Krabi, Thailand.
These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. 1 week after Muslim worshippers in New Zealand were gunned down, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern imposed an immediate ban on all military-style rifles. Three explosions by landmines planted in the western part of Kabul killed at least six people and wounded more than 20. Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen began a tour of diplomatic allies in the Pacific with a stopover in Hawaii. And Kazakh President Nursultan Nazarbayev has abruptly resigned after nearly 30 years in office. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook and at VOA Asia and our website, voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. In the U.S., Democratic congressional leaders have, for the time being, ruled out pursuing impeachment proceedings against President Donald Trump. Now, historically, impeachment has been a rare event. Only two presidents have been impeached, Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton. As VOA national correspondent Jim Malone reports, impeachment can be a risky political move with unexpected consequences.
Despite pressure from liberal activists, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi opposes impeaching President Trump, at least for the moment.
Impeachment is a divisive issue in our country. And let us see what the facts are, what the law is, and what the behavior is of the president.
Thank you very much.
For President Trump, the idea of impeachment is, not surprisingly, a non-starter.
Well, you can't impeach somebody that's doing a great job. That's the way I view it.
Democrats may prefer to have the voters try and oust Trump during next year's election, says Matt Dallin.
By the time impeachment proceedings were even to ramp up, you know, talking about the end maybe of 2019 or early 2020, that creates its own complication because there's another remedy for removing a president, and it's called the election.
But I want to say one thing to the American people.
Democrats may also be mindful of what happened with the impeachment of President Bill Clinton in 1998.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky.
Clinton lied about and tried to cover up his affair with intern Monica Lewinsky, which in turn led to his impeachment by the House.
The yeas are 44, the nays are 56. The motion is not agreed to.
Clinton remained in office after he was acquitted in a trial in the Senate.
I have accepted responsibility for what I did wrong in my personal life.
Republicans lost five House seats in the 1998 elections in what amounted to a political backlash over the impeachment, says Larry Sabato.
Given the fact that the Republicans took a wounded Bill Clinton and made him almost invulnerable for the rest of his term, should serve as a warning to Democrats.
Mr. Abraham, aye.
Sabato says the founders of the Republic envisioned impeachment as a rare event.
They didn't want presidents impeached and convicted and thrown out of office for minor offenses. They expected Congress to do it only in extreme circumstances.
In 1974, Congress began impeachment proceedings against President Richard Nixon over the Watergate scandal.
Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow.
Nixon left office when it became clear that he would likely not survive an impeachment trial in the Senate. President Trump could face renewed calls for his ouster, depending on the findings of special counsel Robert Mueller's report on Russian meddling in the 2016 election, says John Hudak.
I think if the Mueller report indicates some serious wrongdoing by the president and his campaign, it really empowers Democrats to begin deliberating how to move forward with impeachment proceedings.
For the time being, it appears more likely that President Trump will face the voters again before Democrats can mount any serious impeachment inquiry in the House. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
And you can follow all the twists and turns of the U.S. presidential 2020 campaign at voanews.com. Happening now in Asia, shares mostly rose on Thursday. The Shanghai Composite advanced 0.35% and the Shenzhen component added 0.706%. In South Korea, the Kospi closed 0.36% higher, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng index slipped 0.85%. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. And we're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. For zoos across the globe, keeping animals healthy is a top priority. However, not every zoo has the tools and medical staff needed. The failing health of a pair of lions may force the Lahore Safari Zoo to euthanize these magnificent animals. VOA's Zia Ul Rahman filed this report from Lahore, Pakistan, narrated by Behzhan Hamdan.
Conditions in Lahore Zoo Safari are not ideal for the animals. In the past few years, the zoo has lost an elephant, giraffe, deer, leopard, and a lion to various illnesses. But these days, zoo staff face a new challenge, caring for a lion and a lioness with a rare disease.
This is a neuromuscular disease, most probably an inbreeding issue. Sometimes there are genetic deformities that occur in animals.
To help the lions, zoo staff and the veterinarians say they have tried everything they could think of and even consulted foreign experts with no luck. While zoo animals have died of illness in the past, This case poses a new challenge.
For the first time in this zoo's history, the staff has agreed to euthanize an animal so that the two lions stop suffering.
Director of Worldwide Fund for Nature in Pakistan, Dr. Uzma Khan, says veterinarians need specialized training to treat wild animals.
Veterinary institutions major.
The veterinary training here solely focuses on livestock, so the first actual exposure to wild animal treatments for vets happen at work.
Dr. Khan adds that zoos in Pakistan often display a negative image to public.
Zoos, jo hai, globally, unka main function.
The main function of zoos globally is education, conservation, education. If you are showing animals in terrible and miserable conditions, then what message are you sending to visitors?
For Zia Rahman in Lahore, Pakistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
And you're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Special English. A way to learn American English and much more. Broadcasting a half hour of world news and features every day on radio. You can also find Special English on television and online at voaspecialenglish.com. For 50 years, helping people understand world events and the language and culture of America.
This news alert from VOA Asia, Singapore and the United States will work together to promote infrastructure development in Asia under an agreement signed this week. The agreement signals the development of more options for infrastructure financing for Asian countries, in addition to China's Belt and Road Initiative. This is VOA Asia. And VOA Asia continues. In Ohio on Wednesday, U.S. President Donald Trump spotlighted the U.S. manufacturing industry, a key piece of his 2020 re-election strategy. Trump's focus on manufacturing is lauded by his base, but is it actually helpful to the industry? White House correspondent Patsy Wittikuswara reports.
President Donald Trump is bringing the focus back to what he considers his success, the revival of the American manufacturing industry.
You better love me. I kept this place open. That I can tell you. They said, we're closing it. And I said, no, we're not. And now you're doing record business.
In politically vital Ohio, Trump visited a military factory that produces tanks and military vehicles, highlighting his effort to enlarge the U.S. defense budget and boost manufacturing in the heartland. But Trump was unable to bring back jobs elsewhere in the state with the closing of General Motors Lordstown plant. He's blaming the auto company.
What's going on with General Motors? Get that plant open or sell it to somebody and they'll open it. Everybody wants it.
Trump also blamed the plant closing on the union representing the GM workers.
The kinds of things he's doing today, like trying to browbeat or beat up on General Motors or Ford or Chrysler or something like that, don't help the economy. They are helped by larger U.S. economic policies in relation to tax, in relation to the budget, in relation to regulatory policy.
Trump's focus on manufacturing may win support from his working class base, but analysts are skeptical it makes financial sense in a globalized economy. The tariffs on steel to help the industry, for example, could actually backfire.
Steel is extremely capital intensive. Firms are producing more and making more profit, but they haven't hired anybody. On the other hand, steel is used in a lot of production, auto production, construction of housing. So we're losing jobs. We're losing blue-collar jobs because of the steel tariffs. Now they're talking about auto tariffs. You know, all of these things tend to reduce the number of jobs, not increase the number of jobs.
Trump won Ohio by 8 percentage points in 2016. It will again be a key battleground state in 2020. Patsy Wittikuswara, VOA News at the White House.
Meanwhile, President Donald Trump is accusing social media outlets, including Facebook, Google, and Twitter, of being biased and suggested that the situation needs scrutiny. VOA's Zlatica Hoc reports.
You look like a very
at the joint
person.
Conference with Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, Trump said he reaches more than 100 million people through Twitter and other digital platforms, and he's taking advantage of that attention. Data from Facebook and Google's political ad transparency reports, collected by Bully Pulpit Interactive, showed that Trump's re-election campaign has spent nearly twice as much as the entire Democratic field combined on Facebook and Google ads. But on Tuesday, he accused these outlets of being biased.
Things are happening. Names are taken off. People aren't getting through. You've heard the same complaints. And it seems to be if they're conservative, if they're Republicans, if they're in a certain group, there's discrimination and big discrimination. I see it absolutely on Twitter and Facebook, which I have also, and others I see.
Earlier Tuesday, Trump's social media director Dan Scavino posted an angry message on Facebook questioning why the network had blocked his comments on his own account. The social media giant apologized, saying that Facebook's algorithm limits the number of identical repetitive posts on a single account in a brief period of time in an attempt to block spam. But Trump accused social platforms, television shows, and the news media in general of siding with the radical left Democrats and said users are aware of it.
The people are smart. The people get it. They'll go through all of that, whatever it is they're fed, and in the end, they pull the right lever. It's a very, very dangerous situation. So I think I agree. I think something has to be looked at very closely.
Nunes on Monday filed a suit against Twitter and three individual Twitter users, claiming damages of at least $250 million. Nunes, who was a member of Trump's transmission team, claims that Twitter deliberately failed to close the fake accounts that insulted him. The case is fueling the debate on whether regulating social media would constitute censorship or secure protection from harassment. Zlatica Hoc, VOA News, Washington.
This news alert from VOA Asia. International patent applications filed from Asia exceeded half of the world total for the first time in 2018. Landmark shows Asian companies and institutions are rapidly increasing their presence in global innovation. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, Friday is the annual observance of World Water Day. This year's theme is No One Left Behind. But according to a report from UNICEF and the World Health Organization, nearly a billion people today live without access to clean drinking water. VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports.
Anna Diona used to fetch water from this river in Mozambique, where people bathe and wash clothes.
Could you imagine waking up in your household and having to walk miles to get a clean glass of water? Or better yet, having to walk miles to even find a safe place to go to the restroom?
She walked 15 minutes from the steep riverbank, carrying a water jug on her head. Until a year ago, her children would brush their teeth and wash with it. Today, her children drink clean water for little money from this nearby water kiosk run by a woman and locally built.
Where there's water, everything is possible. But in reality, without water, you can't do anything. It is a complete barrier to development and good health and productivity.
Jason Brooks is senior technical advisor for water at ADVA International. Together with local communities, the nonprofit group digs wells that pump clean water to kiosks like the one in Mozambique. Brooks says projects like this one create jobs for about 7,000 people around the world.
We can't do anything without the local community and the leaders of that community who have to be responsible for maintaining access to safe water supply.
Because collecting water comes with cost.
We can start with the girl child and her inability to go to school because she has to help the parents with household chores. And fetching water is one of those. Some of these individuals are having to walk 3, 4, 5 kilometers a day, one way, just to get water. Allow that girl child to get pregnant. she becomes an even bigger victim when she has to now show up at a rural clinic where there is no water.
Aid workers say clean water is scarce in remote health clinics.
Think about all the things a hospital does with water. There's hand washing, there's cleaning of equipment, there's cleaning of surfaces and the floors, there's drinking water. You might need to take water with your medication, so it needs to be clean.
Experts say building water infrastructure is worth the cost.
If you have money to build roads, you have money to build wells. If you have money to invest in internet, you can find money for a latrine. We just want to reprioritize investment to make sure that the needs of people are being met.
The United Nations calls the need for clean water a basic human right and proposed expanding access to all people by 2030. Until then, World Water Day is a reminder of the work ahead and the 780 million people worldwide in need of help. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Finally today, as rising nationalism intensified divisions in Europe, a new exhibit in Paris instead explores a powerful unifier. Music, arriving with post-war colonial migrations, has helped turn London and Paris into multicultural melting pots. Lisa Bryant reports for VOA from Paris.
Rhythm and blues, reggae, rye, and rock and roll, Europe and other Western regions got world music long before the term was invented. Even the Beatles were much more than a British brand, borrowing from Asia and sometimes West Africa. How it blended into popular culture today is a central theme of a new exhibit that examines three decades of post-war migration to Paris and London through music. France and Britain needed extra manpower to fuel their fast-growing economies. They got it from former colonies that had just achieved independence. For immigrants in Paris, it was a tough beginning.
The migrants lived in special area, what we called foyer, for instance. There were a lot of strikes during the 70s in foyer de travailleurs. They were working in factory during the day, sharing the life of everybody. But at the end of the day, they had vanished in their foyer.
Stéphane Malfette is curator of the exhibit that opened this week at the Paris Museum of Immigration History. He says the immigrants were initially sidelined from France's mainstream musical scene as well. Things changed in the 1970s.
The music became very strong to protest, to exist in the public space as an instrument of revolt and protest.
Across the English Channel, migrants in London also faced racism, but Martin Evans, another exhibit curator, said they were introducing the city to ska and reggae from Jamaica, music from East Africa, and calypso from Trinidad and Tobago.
They could become profoundly London, and in a sense, I think that's a measure of how much this migration has transformed London by the end of the 1980s.
The parents of British musician and filmmaker Don Letts emigrated to Britain from Jamaica as part of the so-called Windrush generation. He said they wanted to integrate by denying their roots. It didn't work.
Ironically, it was their culture, particularly their music, that would capture the imagination of the white working class kids. And it was our culture that would actually help us to integrate with society.
Lett says the cultural exchange went both ways.
I was inspired by a lot of the things that I grew up with. I grew up digging the Stones, the Beatles, Bowie, Roxy music, and all the rest of it.
Meanwhile, Paris, by the 1980s, had become a hub for African music. Singers like Papa Wemba, Khaled, Youssou N'Dour, and Salif Keita. Music producer Martin Messonnier was among their earliest fans and producer of some of the biggest artists.
Out of pleasure, I was discovering all these new musics, and I thought it was a gold mine because it was fascinating. It was all these incredible bands.
The musical fusion has left a powerful imprint on today's artists, and it has changed not only how we think about music, but about each other. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
And that is VOA Asia for today and for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back again with you next week. We hope you will as well. And until then, have a great weekend.